Oh, a
Yeah.
little bit of a lighter. I got it this year, focusing on some issues that come in Pesachim. But as I said, at some point, I wanted to talk about first proving that the Gemara has humor, and second of all, figuring out why it does that. Okay? Why it does
It's
that.
comfort.
Because it's actually important to ask. Okay? Hopefully, we'll cover this in one day. It's a bit lighter. Again, look, the last Agadot, there's no way of, no way to choose out of it. It was heavy. Very, very heavy. The Maharal alone was heavy. And don't worry, we'll see more Maharal next week. So great. Love it. It's great. And again, part of it is also, I prepare so much for this year. You have no idea.
How much did you read for this, Sarah?
Well, for this one, a decent amount. For next week's, I'm in the middle of a PhD
I
that I
was
happen to come
saying
across
about
because, yeah, I just,
the
that happens. I read
dressmakers.
full PhDs to like prepare a 45-minute shiur, anyways. Okay, so humor. So I will point out that some have suggested that the Torah itself has puns. This is admittedly funny, but some of the Midrashim take it much more seriously. But the first possible pun they find in Bereishit, which is where God says to Kayin, the land is cursed because it opened its mouth to collect your brother's blood. And if you work the land, it won't give it strength anymore. Navanat tiyeh ba'aretz. And you shall, what's navanad?
Wander.
You will wander. And what does he do instead? Instead of wander, instead he moved to a city which he called Node, called Wander. Right? Now the Midrash takes this very seriously and says, you see, the tshuva is mechaper on half because he said navanad and now it's only Node. So the Midrash there does not see any humor. But let's see cases in the Gemara where it is humor. And here, some of this is based on Yitzi Blau, I shared with Rabbi Yitzi Blau many years ago, though I've added a lot to it. But let's just prove that not only does the Talmud have humor, but it's different types of humor. So, first type of humor, which is found in Pesachim, is puns. Now, this should not surprise anyone who knows rabbis. Rabbis, unfortunately,
are
like
pretty
puns.
funny.
We, oh God.
That's not a
But
pun.
yes, we unfortunately rabbis
Not
like puns. I don't know why we like puns. I don't know if it's something that happens in, if it's the water at Smicha. I'm not really sure. I don't really get it. But the Gemara likes puns. So the Gemara has one on Tet Amud in Pesachim, which is why I'm justifying this, because several Gemaras we will see are from Pesachim. And the Gemara says, okay, Shema, are you really not worried that a weasel has dragged your chametz, that what left over, if you're leaving over chametz on the 14th of night, you have to put it on the side for your breakfast, so you don't have to search a second time. The Gemara said, don't worry about it. If it's the 13th, you don't have to be worried that the weasel hid away food. But if it's the 14th, if you don't hide your chametz well, you have to be worried that the weasel took the food and hid it. Because on the 13th, there's a lot of bread. In all houses, lo mitzana, the weasel will simply not hide your food. He just won't hide it. He's just going to eat it because he knows there's food he can eat. But on the 14th, oh, that weasel knows what's coming. A week of only matzah, ichsa, right? He's going to hide your chametz. And now the Gemara says, really? Is the Chulda a prophetess? The Yada Da'id Narbiz Adla Urta, Mishaira Bitamra, that he knows, that she knows rather, that on the 14th you're about to enter 7 days without having chametz?
Yes.
So now, of course, this is a pun. It's only a pun if you happen to know Tanakh, which I understand that unless I told you this in advance, and only because you've heard this before, most people read this, I know, the first time they're like, V'chichulda Nevi'i. And they're just like, is a Chulda a prophetess? Probably not. Let's move on to the sugya. Without knowing that, yes, Chulda is a prophetess. Not the weasel, but the woman named Chulda, as you have in Divrei Yomim, Vayelech Chilkiyahu, Vasher HaMelech El Chulda Nevi'ah. Right? That there is a prophetess named Chulda. So first of all, the Talmud has puns. Great. The Talmud also has slapstick. Right? Yes, it has slapstick. This is the Gemara number 3 in Bava Kama Lamed Zayin is about the most classic slapstick you could ever come up with. So, Chana Bisha. His name is literally Chanan, the Bisha, the scoundrel, the bad one. Taka Leilahu Gavra. He hit somebody in his ear. Okay? Come. I'll be the evil one. Come here. Okay, boom. Yalla, okay? Ata Lekamed Ravuna. He came to Ravuna. Amar Leh Zivhav Leh Palgadu Zuzah. You owe him half a Zuz. Havale Zuzamaka. I don't have half a Zuz, but I do have a full Zuz. It's just not a good full Zuz. Can I give you the full Zuz and you'll give me change? By the midfemine palga de Zuz. So I said, can I give you a full Zuz and you give me change? Lo have mishtakale. He said, no. I said, fine. Takale achrina. So I punched him in the leg. Yo, I got too long. And he gave me the whole thing. Right? That is like, that is the most classic slapstick that's you could so ever good. Come up with. Right? And if you don't think the Gemara is trying to be funny, right? Well, then you have no sense of humor. Definitely not slapstick. Okay? Now, irony. The Gemara is very good at irony. So, here's a wonderful Gemara in Avodah Zarah Yotet. Levi Reb Shimon Berebi, and I can so imagine this happening in Migdal, so just imagine it. Levi Reb Shimon Berebi, Yatva Lekmeh de Rebi, the Kapaske Sidra. Levi and Reb Shimon were learning by Rebi, right? And they finished Alimud, Salak Sifra. So now they said, what are we going to learn? What are we going to learn next? Levi Amar Laitul Mishlei. Let's learn Mishlei. Shimon Berebi Amar Laitul Tehillim. He said, Tehillim. Kasye le Levi Va'aitul Tehillim. They forced Levi to give in. And they learned Tehillim. Okay? So, three people in the room. Right? Rebbe and two Talmidim. One is disgruntled. One is not. Kimatu hacha. They're learning the first parak in Tehillim. And they get to the pasuk of Ki Im B'Torah Hashem Chefzo. Right? That if the Torah is his delight, Peyish Rebbe, Rebbe starts giving a shir, Va'amar. Oh, what does it mean, the Torah Hashem Chefzo? That the Torah is his desire. You should see by my makom, the makolet was selling tea for $6.90, so I bought a bunch of boxes. You can go look at the flavors I put there.
Which one?
The Yonah Habitan. Perish Rebbe V'amar, Rebbe Gishir. Hey, what does it mean? Torah Hashem Chefzo, the Torah is your desire. Ain Adam Lomed Elba Makam Shaliba Chafetz. You only learn the things you enjoy. And you know what's happening. Amar Reb Levi. Levi said, Rebbe, Natata Lana Rishut Lamod. You just gave me permission to go home. Goodbye. Right? This is very classic. What? He gave a shir, right? You have, You have the Rebbe, you have two Talmidim. They argue what they're going to learn. One gets his way, one is disgruntled. He starts giving a shir that says, you only learn what you enjoy. And he says, you've just given me permission to go home, right? What? Bye-bye, right? Gemara Rosh Hashanah Chavtet. I remember hearing from Rabbi Sachs once. This was his favorite Gemara in Shas, right? The Gemara also has many ways in which you outsmart your opponent using humor. You defuse the situation, 10 situations with humor. So, for example, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chavtet says, Tana Rabbanan, Pam Achad Chal Rosh Hashanah Liyot B'Shabbat. Once it happened that Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbat. Now, there's a machloket. In Yerushalayim, on Shabbat, you blow the shofar. But there's a machloket in the Mishnah. What about when you don't have Yerushalayim, do you blow it where there is the Beit Din, the central Beit Din? So in Yavne. So they call Aram at Gazan. Everyone's getting together. Amr le Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai le ben Beteira nitka. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you blow the shofar in Yavne, in the central Beit Din. So let's blow the shofar. Amr lo, they said, whoa, not so fast. Nido. Can't just do it. Let's talk about it. Amar Lehem, he said, I have a compromise. Nitka, let's blow for this year. V'acharchav nidon, then we'll talk about it. They said, sure. La'akar shetaku, so this year they blew the shofar and they said, Amar lo nidon, let's talk about it. Amar Lehem, kvar nishma keren miyavna. You already heard the shofar in Yavna. V'in mashiv l'achar myself. You can't, there's nothing you can say after it already happened. Yalla, right? Or the Gemara in Sanhedrin number 6. Darish Rabbi Yossi v'tzipori. Abel yo, kaptan aviragal meti gabe ichsime tlata yome v'loata. Rabbi Yossi used to always talk to Eliyahu. And once he said about Eliyahu that Eliyahu was a difficult person. Kaptan. Eliyahu was so offended that he didn't show up for 3 days. Finally he shows up. Amar le amai lo atamar. So then Eliyahu does show up. And Rabbi Yossi says, where have you been for 3 days? Amar le, kaptan currently. He said, you called me difficult. Amar lei, had to come on to kashab in mar. Look what you just did. You're being difficult. Right? End of story. Right? So even Eliyahu is not, right, is not free of this. Right? He one-ups Eliyahu. The Gemara even has your mama jokes. Right? Number 7, I kid you not. Right? The Gemara says very simply, Mikri l'Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yitzchak berei. Rav Yehuda was teaching his son, Rav Yitzchak. The pasuk in Kohelet says, I find a woman more bitter than death. A wife more women than death. Amar like kagon man. Like who? Kagonimach. Like your mother, right? Thigmar says, wait.
It's his own wife.
Yes, and his, yes, I understand. But wait a second. At a different time, he said that you only are happy when you're with your first wife. He said, who's that like? He said, your mother. He's like, yeah, she was aggressive and forceful, but also easily appeased. So yeah, sometimes happy, sometimes not. But the Gemara very literally, explicitly has a your mama joke, right? The Gemara has very interesting things. The Gemara also has, and now we're back to Psachim, bathroom humor. And this Gemara, the Gemara is so into that it repeats it multiple times in Shas. This is not even a joke that happens once. This is a story that happens multiple times. Ula Amar. Ula said, Kadesha Yochlu, Tamarim, the Asku Bitoira, right? So it's the middle of a long discussion. He says, what is with these people in Bavel? They were sent to Bavel, which is so rich, so they could spend all day eating dates, which are sweet, never, and learn Torah. Ula Iklu Pampadita. Right? Now this was his insult, because he's saying, look, they have so much money. Right? And you'll see. Kriva Lutrani Tamar. So he came to Pampadita and they gave him a basket full of dates. Armalu Kamahiana Bezuza. He says, how expensive is this? Amrulay, Klap Bezuzah, he says, three baskets for a Zuz. These are cheap, right? This is a luxury item. Amrulay, Malatzina de Dufsha Bezuzah, a basket full of honey for a Zuz, Ubavloy lo Aski Belraita, and the Bavlim, they don't learn Torah, right? Things are so expensive, so cheap in America. How do you not learn Torah? But you know what's going to happen. He had the whole basket of dates. That was a mistake. Bilil yatsa arahu. At night, it caused him discomfort. Amar, and he said, Malatzina sama demota bezuda de Bavel, a basket full of poison in Bavel, is a zuz in Bavel, ubavli asu, ubavloi aski belraita, and the Babylonians managed to learn Torah. Right? The Gemara literally just imagines Ula sitting on the toilet all night and screaming to heaven, Givald, how do these people learn? Right? So the Gemara is not shy about using different types of jokes. It just isn't. Great. We have now shown that the Gemara has jokes. Why?
But they're human. They're still people.
So you could just say they're human. That could be it. Good. What is the purpose? Right? That is the, what is the purpose of this? Right? So, besides the fact that it just exists in the Gemara makes it quite clear that it values humor. So if you look, for example, the Gemara in number 9, in Tanit Daf Chof Bet, the Gemara tells the following story. Amar Lei, right? They were, Eliyahu was having a conversation with Rabbi Broka. And Rabbi Broka, as is very normal, was sitting there in the marketplace and saying, please, Eliyahu, who here has a chelek in Olam Haba? And he said, nobody. Nobody. Until Hanach Lami B'nei Amad Adud Adzer, Azul Gabayu, Amar Lei Mayu, then until he pointed to two guys. So obviously, Rabbi Broka wants to know, why did these two people have a chelek in Olam Haba? So Amar Lehu, Mayu Daichu. So what's your job? Amrlei Anshi Beduchayana. We are jesters. We're joke tellers. Mevdicha Natsive. And we make sad people happy. Inami, alternatively, Kichazin and Betraydit Lutagra Bahadayu. When you see people fighting, Tarchin Vadin Lushlama, we try to make peace. Right? Now that's not clear if the jokes are based on it, right? Or if that's a separate answer. Right? But the first thing the Gemara tells you is what the value of humor. Makes people happy. That's okay. And maybe, depending on whether you think the second half is also dependent on the first half, it also is a good way of lowering tensions, a good joke. You know, I'm sure you've been in situations where the tensions are high and then someone with a witty tongue says just the right thing, everyone explodes in laughter, and it's over. Right? You're all thinking. Can I give an example? You think I'm funny?
Rahman, what's that?
No. You think that, I see. You think I've been in the presence of funny people in my life. Oh, Yecholia. Yeah, that might be. No, you can imagine yourself. What? I obviously do have examples in my mind of funny people over the years. Yes, obviously. But what?
Yotam? He's a funny guy.
Sure, that was not the first person I was jumping to, but sure, Yotam's a funny guy. Sure. Yeah, I'm the type of person who took a course in college on humor and satire, which someone was at my house and read the books on my shelf. I'm like, wow, that is a way of sucking all happiness out of humor. I'm like, yes, it is. that was what my professor said when I took the course too. No, it was really crazy. The first month was, the purpose of the first month was to suck all joy out of the world by reading like Schopenhauer on humor, which is not fun, and things like that. And then the rest of the course after the first month was fun. Because then we did like a month of reading like satires and humor books and stuff like that. And then the third month of the course was we spent one class watching The Simpsons and analyzing, one watching South Park, one class we went to The Onion, one class why you brought in a stand-up comedian to class. That was fun already. It was a very interesting course. And I wrote my final paper on Dr. Seuss because why not? What? I do not watch The Simpsons. That may have been the only Simpsons episode I've ever watched. Yes. No. No. He wasn't a from professor. Oh, okay. Look, there are people who know The Simpsons by heart. Like Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik knows The Simpsons by heart. If you have a question on it, you can ask him. I do not.
What does that mean?
My sins I detail for you today. Right? Fine. What?
You say you have no humor.
How do I say that I have no humor?
Okay,
so one possible thing is it makes people happy. That's good. The Reb Hirsch takes it farther, and he says, it's not just makes people happy. It makes people happy when they're about to despair, right? So, for example, he says, Vayomer el Moshe, right? This is when the Jews were running away from the Mitzrayim on their way to create Yom Suf. And the pasuk says, "Vayomer el Moshe, hamiblien kvarim v'mitzrayim lekachtanu l'amud b'mizar, mazod asita lanu l'zivitzrayim." What, there weren't any graves in Egypt that you could have buried us there? Rehersh sees that this is humor. This is cynicism. He says the cynicism is remarkable. Moments from when their minds are certain death, they still have an inclination towards black humor. This sharp irony, even in moments of deepest anxiety and despair, is characteristic of the witty vein, which is inherent to the Jewish race from the earliest beginnings. Now, I will note that if you want an entire book on this, Jeremy Dauber wrote two wonderful books, one on the history of Jewish humor and one on the history of comics in general, where he does go through extensively the history of Jewish humor and what it is that, you know, drives people and why it is that we have such a bitter humor, right? Such cynicism. But the second thing that Hirsch adds is that humor is valuable because, you know, when things are really, really hard, you know, it's a good coping mechanism. Now, I will point out in a few minutes that that might be a bad thing, right? There's two sides to every, right, to everything. But let's first talk about the positives, okay? Another positive, Gemara in Shabbat, Lamed Amud Bet, Ulesimcha Mazu Osa. Kohelet says, what is the point of joy? Zu Simcha Shein El Shal Mitzvah. That is only joy that is not of a mitzvah. Lelamedcha. But what does that teach you? She ain't shina shora lo mitoch atzvot, lo mitoch aslot, lo mitoch sok, lo mitoch kalat rosh, lo mitoch sikha, lo mitoch dvarim betelim, lo mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. That teaches you that God's presence is not present when there's sadness or laziness or frivolity or levity or sloth, right? Or idle talk. Only simcha shel mitzvah. Right? So this Gemara introduces another factor, which is that happiness is important, admittedly the right type of happiness and joy, in order for God's presence to be present. And if it's not, right? And the Rama makes a big deal of this, but we see this most with who? Which Navi? Elisha. Right? Elisha, when he's having trouble getting Nebu, what does he say? Yeah, he brings, said, please play some music. Right? Because he was sad, so he couldn't talk to God. Yes, but it has to be the right type of humor, and we'll see that. We'll see. V'chein l'dar alocha. And Amar Rava v'chein l'chalam tov. Okay. So the Gemara says, really? Ain? Is it really good to be happy? No, happiness, God forbid. But Amar of Gidol Marav, Gidol quotes Rav is saying, Kol Talmud Chacham Shiyoshev Lefnei Rabo, any Talmud Chacham that is before his Rebbe, V'ein Sifto Tav Notfot Mar, and his lips are not dripping bitterness, Tichavena, he should be burnt. Shenemar, or his lips should be burnt. Shenemar Sifto Tav Shoshanim Notfot Morover. Al tikri morover, don't call it morover, which is myrrh. Ela marover, bitterness. Al tikri shoshanim, don't call it shoshanim, which is lilies or roses. Ela shoshonim, that they teach. Right? When you teach Torah bitter, no happiness, you should all be terrified. You should all be shaking. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, you're right. Haba rabba, haba talmid, the Rav should be happy, and the Talmidim should be terrified, right? No smiling. The Ibai Rehma, The Gemara says, or it depends. Hava ha biraba. Both is the Rebbe velo kasha. Ha mikami le patach, vada batra patach. It depends. Before shir, chill. Once shir starts, no chill. Right? Ki ha diraba, like rabba, mikami de patach lo rabbanan. Before he would start shir, amar milta dibdichuta. He would say a joke. Uvadchi rabbanan. Everyone would laugh, because apparently he was actually funny, which is not true of everyone. I heard from several talmidim the Rav that like once the Rav was like, I heard a great joke, like once, and he told us like 20-minute joke, and no one understood it at all, right? This was sometimes I felt with Rav Lichtenstein. I love Rav Lichtenstein, but I do he every Purim he would give this like hour-long sicha, which was meant to be a very, very, very complicated joke, and like you had to be really smart to get it, and like my second year he gave it, and I was like, what is going on, and like 45 minutes in, it's still going. We're all like, oh my God, what is going on? And Rav Amital, who had a sense of humor, no, he was not. Rav Amital was having none of this. He just walks into a Lichtenstein, takes the microphone out of his hands, and he says, Harav Lichtenstein, 45 dakot, bipurim, vikulam nirim kemo tisha be'av. And he walks out of the door and just slams it behind him. Rav Aaron smirks and continues for 20 minutes. So... What? Oh, he said 45 minutes on Purim and everyone looks like it's Tisha B'Av, right? And then he leaves and he slams the door and Navarro and smiles and continued.
Same joke every year.
No, it wasn't different every year. No, yes. He was very funny. So, but then when people are terrified, that's when you have Shir. So another thing is that it apparently gets you, right? Just gets you in the right mood. Right? Sometimes you need a chill at the moment, you know, beginning of shir, schmooze a little minute, right, a few minutes, and then you should all be shaking and terrified because I am scary. Yes. Now that we've established this, don't smile, right? Only at the beginning of shir. No, after that, don't smile. But
I thought you were going to talk about the story I think it was your question.
I just did it. No, you came in late. I just told that story.
Thanks. 45 minutes joke.
Yeah.
No, not that one, but the one where you're giving something on a Ramban.
No, that's an old story from Europe. Right? No, that's an old story, I think, from Volozhin, right? But it could be anywhere, right? Of, you know this one, right? Where the person gave a 45-minute lumdish shir on Astira and Rambams, and it was supposed to be Purim Torah, and no one understood why it was funny, and the one guy in the front is cracking up. It's like, what's so funny? The Rambams don't exist, right? Yes. Someone explain it to him. Okay. Yeah. Anyways. Fine. Another thing is that I think humor is helpful in the context of Musar, right? It makes it easier for people to, or if you just yell and scream at people, they don't always want to listen. I mean, maybe some of you do want to listen. I know, you all like my Musar where I just scream and yell, I got it. I hate it, but you like it, right? But no. But for many people, it helps. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? Once I was in a Lichtenstein chair, it was the funniest thing. We were doing Nedarim. We're doing the sugya of Kinui and Nedarim and Yad Nedarim. And Rav Aaron was giving an example of what happens if I make up a word, right? That makes as a neder. So he said, Naniach Shayiti Omer Expialidosius. Right? And you had a very clearly all the Americans just crack up, and all the Israelis are just staring blankly, right? And then there was someone sitting next to me who was like, what is expialidocious? I'm like, you grew up in Efrat. You're American. You definitely don't lie to me. You watch Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins, yes. Miriam. Yes. Okay. So listen to the following Gemara. Now, some people take this seriously, but one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Klapper, has pointed out that you do not understand this Gemara properly if you take it too seriously, okay? So, Kariale, Chizkiah exclaimed, let din barnosh, this person is not a human being, he's not a man. Ikadamri, kagon din barnosh, or alternatively, only such a person is a man, right? He's human. And then he launches into a little Musar thing. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rava Bar Zimuna. Rabbi Zeira quotes Rav and the Emor Zimuna, Im Rishonim b'nei malachim anu b'nei anashim. If the earlier generations were angels, then we are people. Vim Rishonim b'nei anashim anu kechamorim. If the earlier generations were people, then we are donkeys. Chamorim. What? No, we're donkeys. No, no, it clearly means donkey. You will see in just a second. Now, people quote this all the time, right? As if this is serious, right? Except, I want you, before I read the next line, I want you to imagine who is the most serious person you can think of giving a Moser Shmuz, okay? Someone, let's say in this yeshiva. Oh, no. Yeah, okay, let's imagine for a second Chaim Moser, okay? I want you to imagine Chaim Moser getting up and giving the following Moser. If Rav Moshe Feinstein was an angel, then we are people. And if Rav Moshe Feinstein was a person, then we are donkeys. But not special donkeys. And let me tell you a story of a special donkey. That's what the Gemara does. And not those special donkeys. You're not a special donkey. You are a regular donkey. And let me tell you a story about a special donkey. You are not a special donkey. You understand there may be a serious point going on there, but unless you are completely tone deaf to humor, you are meant to laugh, right? You are meant to at least smirk. At least smirk. Or at least say, oh, the rabbi's trying to be funny. At least that. The fachot zet. I can't do this. I'm in the middle of a shir. It doesn't matter. I'm not. Okay. Now, the Yerushalmi says there are plenty of people who are not teaching right now. Rav Asher, you go. They're not. Revere. The Yerushalmi's version, Rabbi Yirmiya, now the Yerushalmi's version is interesting because it's not about other people, it's about himself. Right? Rabbi Yirmiya shalach Rebzera chad misana detainim dlo matachna, Rabbi Yirmiya savar meymar ma'azera meichod dlo matachna, Rabbi Yirmiya savar meymar ma'efshad, Rabbi Yirmiya mishach le'milad dlo matachna, bein din l'din ed achlet tevel. So Rabbi Yirmiya sent Rabbi Yirmiya a basket of figs that had not had Shuman Meisern given. Rabbi Yirmiya said Rabbi Yirmiya wouldn't send me something that had that was still tevel. And Rabbi Yirmiya thought it can't be there, right? He won't eat something that's tevel. He wouldn't send me something that's not tevel. In the meantime, between the confusion, he ate tevel. And Rabbi Abba Bar Zvina, Mishan Rav Zira, Amar, in Havon Kadmoy, B'nei Malachim, Anam Bein Nash. Now he said about himself, if the earlier ones were angels, then were people. If they are people, were donkeys. Not special donkeys, because special donkeys know when something is truma. Okay, right? And that's where the story goes on. So you also use it for yourself, right? Sometimes a little bit of self-deprecating humor is helpful to swallow your own Musar. Okay. These are like practical. The Rav argued more radically that the reason that humor is valuable is because, and Ezra is not going to like this, I'm sorry, you're not going to like this, because it's a kium of a halachta bedrachav, because God has a sense of humor. Yes, the Rav argued this. The Rav argues this based on this was in his eulogy for Mendel Zaks, right? So in number 15, the Gemara tells the following, that Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Shtemes Reshaot Havayayom, the day is 12 hours long. Shalosh Rishon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Vosek B'Torah. The first 3 hours, he learns Torah. Shniyot Yoshev Dan Kol Olam Kulo. And the second 3 hours of the day, he judges the world. Kevan Sharosh and Etchayev Olam Kliya. Inevitably, after 3 hours of judging, he realizes the world should be destroyed. Omeh Mikisei Adin V'Yoshev HaKisei Rachamim. So he gets up and he switches from his seat of judgment to a seat of mercy. Shlishiyot Zan V'Kadon Kolam Ulo Kulo Mikarnei Reima Beitzei Kedem. In the third set of 3 hours, he feeds the whole world. Revit Yoshev Masachik and Leviathan. And the fourth fourth unit of the last 3 hours of the day, he plays with the Leviathan. Shneamar, Leviathan Zayatzart al Sachikbo. And the Rav argues based on this, the fact that the Gemara describes God as playing with the Leviathan for 3 hours shows you that to be have a sense of humor and a playfulness is to be godly. Yes. How seriously the Rav meant it, I don't know. It was an eulogy. It was an eulogy for Mendel Zaks. No, it was a eulogy.
No.
It was a eulogy. Whether he meant it seriously or he meant it as a praise for Mendel Zaks. Okay, but he makes the point that, look, at some level, the fact that the Gemara ascribes a certain amount of humor or playfulness to God himself, right, shows that there is an intrinsic value. Now, there is a whole chapter on the role of humor and the agadatot around humor in this wonderful book. If you guys remember, we used this a little bit last year. Remember this? Right, Jeffrey Rubinstein. So Jeffrey Rubinstein is, in general, if you would like, Jeffrey Rubinstein is one of the leading academic scholars of agadatot in the world. Very interesting guy. This is his first book that is not written academically. It's written for a popular audience, so it uses the same methodology, but it's less, you know, footnote heavy, and it's more accessible. And he also like tries to make the point. He's not just analyzing it like from a, you know, academic detached way. He's actually trying to use the Agadata and try to figure out like what the point, right? What the point is of the Gemara. And he adds a chapter here called Heroism and Humor, where he goes through a lot of these Gemara, right? He goes through the Gemara in Tanit, right, about the right, the people who tell jokes. Right, and he analyzes each of these. By the way, I did not give you all the Gemaras. There are some wonderful more Gemaras. I obviously not give you every funny Gemara in the he brings the he brings a lot of these Gemaras. He notes that it is important to recognize the fact that Chazal have jokes and do raise the possibility that joke tellers could be the only people around who have a chelak in Olam Haba is actually making a profound theological point. It's not random. And he notes that if you know the background, it's important. So, for example, early Christianity had condemned laughter, and John Chrysostom declared that jests and laughter are not from God, but from the devil, right? So there were theologies around where humor, not just being potentially problematic, was intrinsically evil, right? And therefore, for example, Gregory of Nyssa, right, in the 4th century wrote, laughter is our enemy because it is neither a word nor an action ordered to any possible goal.
That's the most Disney super villain thing I've ever heard.
Yes. Or in 330 to 379, the monk Basil of Caesarea, required that anyone in the monastery who inclines to jocularity should be banished for a week, right? Now it's true that in Greco-Roman culture, comedies, right, like Aristophanes, were common, but many of the Greek philosophers hated it, right? So like, Epictetus writes, your laughter is Greek, Stoic philosopher, your laughter should not be loud, frequent, or unrestrained, right? Or Islam traditionally has not great things to say about humor, especially since many humors have untruths, right? Especially since humor was often used to mock, right? And this was a problem that Plato was particularly bothered by, as was Augustine of Hippo, right? And therefore, he notes it's important to realize that Chazal have a mixed view, right? That on the one hand, they have certain things that are positive, but they're not, right? So they are making an important theological statement when they tell jokes and when they talk about the value of jokes, right? But on the other hand, they also believe that there are limitations. So for example, if you look in number 17, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Asur le'adam she'mal yitzchok pev b'olam hazeh. It is forbidden to fill your mouth with laughter in this world. She'ne'emar az yimal yitzchok pinu u'lshonein arina. That az, in the time of Mashiach, now there's a machloket if this means in the Mefarshim whether this is a Churban thing, that like there's nothing wrong with happiness, but you know, we should all be miserable because the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, and the Beit HaMikdash is not destroyed, we can be happy. Or it means this world versus the next world. Then this world, joy is dangerous. And only in like a perfect world can joy be, right, unrestrained joy, be good, right? So there's a machloket. So he says, aim as I, when can our mouth be filled with joy? And Amru alav al Resh Lakish, and they said about Resh Lakish, Shemiyamav lomile schok piv bolomazeh, Michisham Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. He never filled his mouth with laughter once he heard this from Rabbi Yochanan. Right? So on the other hand, the Gemara does recognize that it's important, right, which is against much of, right, the theology that's floating around. On the other hand, it doesn't deny that there's a danger, right? Now, the truth is that in Chazal, how seriously you took this ban on laughter was itself a machloket. So if you look at in the Gemara in Nida in 18, Amar of Achal Bar Yaakov, Ad Kanavir Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zerli De Gichoch Velo Gichech. Rabbi Yirmiya went this far to make Rabbi Zeira laugh, but he didn't laugh. And Rashi says, why was he trying to make him laugh? Right? So Rashi says, he had all these plots to get Reb Zeira to laugh. Why? The usher laldam shemalei piv schok. Reb Zeira machmir tvei. Because it's usher to be happy, right? To fill your mouth with happiness. And Reb Zeira was extra machmir. He didn't just say it was usher to be fill your mouth. He was machmir, never to laugh. So so this bothered Reb Yirmiya. Reb Yirmiya spent his day coming up with ways of trying to get Reb Zeira to laugh. And Reb Zeira, which to be fair is the most hysterical moment in the universe, but okay, fine. Right, but you see that on the one hand, the Gemara recognizes a limitation, but how limited we are is itself a machloket. In one of the most amazing Gemaras, and this Gemara is just downright hysterical, the Gemara tells the following story in Durim. For those of you who are doing Daf Yomi, we'll see it in about 2 weeks. Yoma de mechayich be Rebbe Atya Parata da Alma. On the day when Rebbe Yehuda would laugh, calamity would befall the world. Okay? Because it was only because Rebbe Yehuda was suffering that the world managed, right? That was kapara for the world. So Rebbe Yehuda was never allowed to laugh.
Wait, so he's Jesus?
Amar Leila bar kapara. So, before his, right, his son's wedding or something, he said to bar kapara, listen, if you just don't make me laugh, I will give you 40 sa'a of wheat. Okay? I'm not allowed to laugh. Please. You don't make me laugh, I'll give you 40 sa'a of wheat, which is a fortune. Amar lei, so Bar Kabara said, okay, as long as I can take whichever wheat I want, and I can put it in any container I want, deal. He said, fine. Yalla. Shakal dikula rabba chafi kufr v'safi ha'reshis. So he takes a huge basket, smears it with tar, puts it upside down on his head, and then went to him. V'azov amar le lechul limar ban guru yechid d'arashinilach. Can I have the 40 sa of wheat that you told me? Achuch Rebbe. And Rebbe started laughing. Amar le labas harta d'lo tivtachun. I told you, don't make me laugh. Amar le, chiti darishna kavna sifra. I'm just coming to get my wheat. Amar le kapara le barti de Rebbe. Didn't end there. Bar Kapara said to Rebbe's daughter, Lamachar shatina chamra birikudad avuch vikirkure de imach. Tomorrow, I am going to drink wine while your father dancing and your mother singing. Ben Elasha chatni de Rebbe haviv asher gadol havi. So his son-in-law, Rebbe's son-in-law, was Ben Elasha. Azmi lady luder shemin Rebbe. So invites him to a party. Amr le kapar bar kapara the Rebbe. Bar kapara gets to the party and he says, my toeva. What does the word toeva mean? Right? Which means abomination, right? Called Amr le Rebbe, the hachinu toeva, parcha ga kapara. So every explanation that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi tried to give, he laughed it off. He explained it was wrong. Pircha gave it asked a question. Amarle preached Adi. He said, fine. You explain. Amarle, Teti de Bitchu Tirmali Natla. Before you do, let your wife come and give me a glass of wine. Right? Only then will I explain to you what the word means. Amar Ata Ramitle. So she did. Amarle the Rebbe, Kum Rakodli de Marlach. I also need you to dance. Right? Or I'm not going to answer you. Hachi Rahmana, Toeva. What is Toeva? Toeva Taba. You are going astray in it. Lakasa Achrina. They came with another cup, right? And he said, Amrle Mike Tevel. What is Tevel? Amrle Kiani Kadma, Amrle Lechle Omerlach Aved, Amrle Tevelu, Tavlin Yeshba. So now he said to him, right? Again, he gave him explanations, right? And he says, well, perform in front of me and I'll tell you, right? Right, and obviously, right, this keeps going on, right? And then they do this about, right, the word Zima. What does the word Zima mean? Now, obviously, the irony here is he's not just picking any words, right? He picked three words that all have to do with sexual impropriety, right? Toeva, Tevel, and Zima, right? Right, so it's not just he's randomly, like, giving a shiur. He's, like, in the middle of a wedding, and he's like, so, what does Toeva mean? What type of sexual impropriety is that? How about Zima? How about Tevel? Right? He's just like picking every inappropriate word he can think of in Tanakh, and it's like, what is the meaning of it? Right? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, well, give me wine. Dance for me, and I will tell you. Right? You understand the scene, and at the bend, by the end of it, right, His wife is pouring him wine. Rebbe is out there dancing. He's giving shirim on every inappropriate sexual relation in Tanakh. And at some point, Ben Elisha cannot tolerate it. So he just gets up and leaves. I am out. I am done with this wedding. Right? You see, obviously, that there are different approaches, right? Where Bar Kappara is not the most serious of human beings, right?
This was his own wedding, right?
Now, more than that, right? The Gemara in Sota is quite critical. And the Gemara says, there are four groups of people who will never accept the Shechina. Katleitzim, the group of scoffers or jesters. Katchanifim, flatterers. Katshtarim, those liars. The Kat Misapre Lashon Hara, those who say Lashon Hara. Now, why is that true? So I remember I once heard, I had the following story happen to me many years ago, which made me understand what this Gemara is and the limits of Gemara, okay? So when I was a Tikra fellow in 2011, we were a very interesting cohort, right? The ages ranged from 21 to 42, Jews, non-Jews, Americans, Israelis.
Liberals,
conservatives, yes. Yes, liberals, conservative. Liberals, conservatives, etc. So at some point, one of the Israelis, one of the older Israelis, was explaining that when he used to go to war, when he used to go to battle, there was always the one person in the unit that before they would go to battle would tell a joke because tension was high. Tension was high. And, right, there's always that one guy that could say enough jokes and everyone would be calm, right? And most people around the table were like, oh, like, shkoyach to him. But there was one person in the group, Maggie. She was one of the non-Jews in the group. And one of her projects for the year had been to read the Bible from start to finish in English, but to read the Bible, right, for the first time. Well, it's more than you guys have done. I know. And she said, you know, that sounds interesting, except I'm reading the Bible. And it strikes me that you read Samuel, you read Kings, and they don't do that. War is extremely serious. What do they do before they go to war? They fast, right? And they do tshuva, right? They repent, right? And she's right. Meaning, one of the problems with humor is that when you are vulnerable, what is the proper reaction to vulnerability? To turn to God. Humor often can make you feel invulnerable. But that's bad when you're in a situation when the proper religious orientation should be one of vulnerability. And people who consistently tell jokes and are never serious, right, they are not mekabel pnei Hashchina. They are incapable, right? If everything is a joke, nothing is serious, right? You can't see God. You're never vulnerable. Nothing is ever important, right? Everything's a joke, right? So there have to be limits, right? Humor has its place. So what's the balance? It's hard to tell. So how could you limit humor? So one is quantitatively, right? That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes in 21, which is, listen, what does it mean? What does it mean to not fill your mouth with humor? Exactly. He says, look, too much humor is margilin, to ervan, whatever. That means, if you're doing it for a long time, right, with people, that's a problem. Right, so one way is simply to recognize quantitatively, right? Humor has its place, right? It calms people down, it makes people feel good, it allows you to swallow mustard. All these things are important, but it can't be all the time in every situation. That's a quantitative limitation. But there's another way, which is qualitative, okay? And this is the Tiferet Yisrael. The Tiferet Yisrael is a beautiful piece. And he writes as follows. The Mishnah on Perkei Avot tells us that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Amar Shena Shel Shachret V'Yayin Shel Tzaharayim V'Tzichat Yiladim V'Yishivat Batei Knesiot Shel Am Haaretz Mosin Adam Me'olam. Sleeping through the morning, I won't say anything, afternoon wine, childish chatter, and gatherings of Am Haaretz remove a person from the world. Okay? Now, what are these? Okay? So I'll run through the Tiferet Yisrael. He says, look, there are four things you need for perfection. And each of these represents a different thing that takes you away. What's Shena Shel Shacharit? He says, that's COVID Vaslu. That's laziness and lethargy. Right? One thing that takes you out of is lethargy. And he says very simple. Look, going to sleep at night, important to keep you healthy. Sleeping till 10 in the morning, missing shachris, coming late for morning seder, irredeemable. Rachman al Islam, irredeemable, right? Not that it ever happens, never happens. Good. Yayin shel tzaharayim, he says, what is wine of the afternoon? Mashal redifat ta'anugim. That is a mashal for chasing pleasure, right? Kishu belit sarech l'chazeg ha'guf. When you don't need it for your body, right? He said, that's something that you need a little bit of, but not too much. So far he's limited it to the proper time and proper quantity. But then he makes an interesting move on Sichat Yeladim. He says, what's Sichat Yeladim? Humashal eschok v'hitalut. This is a mashal for levity, for joy, for laughter. Shigam kein miut en yafe. A little bit is good, but lavligo samech anevesh, al rak im anashim gdolim. But only with great people. Sheyesh b'milei dibdichuta imam divrei seichel. Because even if in their jokes, there's intelligence. Right? So now the Tzvarit Yisrael says it's not just important to limit quantity. Right? There's humor and there's humor. Right? You can say humor, but as we saw, right? You can use humor to get a point across. You can use humor to lighten the mood. You can use it in the proper ways. Right? Very good people who are very clever can use humor to say important things. And then there's stumshia, right? The stupidity, right? So the Tiferet Yisrael says it's not just important to limit how much humor. It's important to recognize that humor can also be qualitative, right? There can be quality in humor, right? There can be good humor, and there can be bad humor. I don't want to weigh in on what most of you think are funny. I've heard some of the jokes you make.
But sometimes humor is good every now and again. Like something you don't have to think about it. Like
not important to this.
But that's important.
Rob, you watch Marvel movies.
Yes, planes. They're wonderful. Right? And he says, that's why. Right? And then he says, but you're right. Don't worry. But he said, yes. Does that mean you can't have any stupidity? Just stomps to you? No. So the next one, he says, what is yeshivat batek neshal ma'aretz? Mashal asich b'deila. That's just things that have no point. Hugam kin miyotu yafe. A little bit of nonsense is also good. Asher shetamela, achar shetamela adam b'chachma. Because after you're in wisdom the whole day, rali lo lishtasek tzat ben rea b'dvarm shal ma'bekach. The right thing to do is spend some time with your friends. What's dvarm shal ma'bekach? Yeah, exactly. Dvarim, literally. Shal ma'bekach. What's ma'bekach? What is in it? What, right? Certain things. Like, stumps to you. Right? So he says, listen, there's two limitations. One is quantity, but the other is quality, is to recognize that a little bit of stupid humor, a little bit of wasting time, like stumps to you, is fine. But you should also be careful. Humor can be a powerful tool, but that means that you should be around the right people who have good humor and wise humor. And humor that actually helps rather than takes you away from God. Smart people. They're stupid. You want names? You want good? I'll tell you who has good humor and who has bad humor. What? No, that's not true. Now, this is in contrast to, let's say, a theology like Rav Nachman of Breslov. Because if you look at the Rav Nachman of Breslov, look at the last three lines, Va'ikar liyot b'simcha tamid. The ikar is to be happy always. V'yismach atzmo b'chol mashiuchal. Make yourself happy, whatever it takes. Afilo yidei mila d'shtuta. Even with stupidity, la'asot atzma kishota, to make yourself like a crazy person, like an idiot. V'la'asot yonei shtut b'schok, and do stupid things and funny things. O'kvitza v'ri kodim, or jumping and dancing. K'dei l'avo l'simcha shu davar gadol. Right now, this is obviously a very different theology than the Tiferet Yisrael. Gevalt. So, but this is obviously very different than the Tiferet Yisrael. Right? The Tiferet Yisrael says humor is important, but in the right quantity and the right quality. Right? Rav Nachman is saying, no, what you learn is that the only thing that matters is to be happy, no matter whatever it takes. Be stupid, be crazy, whatever. That's a very different theology. Right? A very, very, very... What? Then the Tiferet Yisrael.
Does it have to be directed towards God?
It was very funny. I held myself back from laughing. I agree with you, but I'm not going to say that out loud. So, right? And just to give you an example from the Netziv of an intelligent joke, right? So this is from the end of Sota. The Gemara says, Mishamet Rebbe Batla Anava V'Yaratchet. When Rebbe died, humility and fear of sin disappeared. Amar Rav Yosef Latana, Rav Yosef said, Lo titne anava. Don't say there's no humility. De ika ana. There's me. That joke has never gone out, right? I'm humble. Do you listen to your qualities? I'm humble. Great. Right? Now, you could just take it as a joke, but then it says it's not a joke. It is a joke, but it's not a joke. The point is that what he's saying is that humility doesn't mean to not know who you are. Right? You're allowed to know who you are. You're allowed to know your qualities. Right? It means that you conduct yourself with not caring about honor. It's not being delusional. It's not pretending you aren't who you are. So it's funny, but there's an intelligence there. Right? It comes across as funny. But there's also a depth. Right? So what we've seen, right, is that the Gemara clearly recognizes the value of humor. It tells jokes. And it also explains to you that it's actually valuable. Right? Being happy helps you learn better. Beginning of Shir. It helps the Shechina be Shora, right? It can make peace between people, right? It can take sad people and make them happy, right? All these are valuable things. But there are limits. Quantitative limits, qualitative limits, right? And as we saw, both in Chazal, where there are different voices, right? Some people who are like, you can't be happy, and some people who clearly spend their day trying to make other people laugh, right? And Tiferet Yisrael to Rav Nachman, where Tiferet Yisrael is limit your humor and be high quality, and Nachman is like, be stupid, yay! And that's what he says, I don't know. No. But, right, but it is really important to recognize this, right? That humor has a power and a danger, right? And that's really, that's the insight. Like, all these agadatot, right? It's not like there's a single agadatot. We can point to everyone that's talking about humor, but the fact that you have a Gemara after Gemara that tells jokes and values humor, but on the other hand, you have the Gemaras that say, but limit it. Right? When you put it together, a very sophisticated picture emerges of recognizing the importance of being not totally serious all the time, but recognizing the importance of balance, both in terms of quantity and in terms of quality. Right? And that is important. Now, other Gemara that just are part of this, I didn't give you everything, but right, the fact that the minhag that emerges from the Gemara that at a wedding, right, they saw that people were too happy, so they broke the glass, right? The understanding that, right, things can get out of control, right, that there's a balance. It's not that you shouldn't be happy at the wedding, but there's a balance. Here in Rubenstein, he also quotes the Gemara in, Bar Kapara, right, which he summarizes, the core idea can be summarized as one rabbi makes another rabbi crack up against his will, right? Which, again, shows us this balance. He quotes the Gemara of Eliyahu being a hothead. He quotes the bathroom humor of Ula. And then, of course, tells his own joke, right? He's like, the storyteller turns the rabbi's visiting for Israel into the butt, exclamation point of a Babylonian joke, ha! Gefalt, right? But why? Okay, so just a few more comments and we'll finish. So he says, why does the Talmud contain so much humor? So first he quotes the sociologist, Peter Berget, who theorizes that the comic experience provides a distinctive diagnosis of the world. It sees through the facades of ideational and social order and discloses other realities lurking behind the superficial ones. Right? So one is that it's not just humor. It means that, like political satire, what it does is by making jokes, it makes you realize how ridiculous the world actually is. Right? Like one thing that sometimes humor can do is just, right? A good joke just breaks through, right? All the politics, right? You just like, something's wrong. Right? Sometimes a good joke, right? Bitter humor, whether like people like Jon Stewart, John Oliver, Stephen Colbert, right? All those people, right? Their jokes, part of them are at least to, right? To show you there's something wrong, right? That you can dress this up as much as you want, right? But a few well-placed jokes about how weird this situation is shows that you're being, right? You're being dishonest with yourself. There's something, right? Another thing he notes, as we've talked about, is that it helps you cope with suffering, right? Like we saw in Rav Hirsch. And some people don't bother draining the humor out of it and just say, stop overthinking this, right? Stop overthinking this, right? Humor is important because humor is important. Of course, to say this, he tells a joke, right? Right. Some try to treat Talmudic humor in a humorous way. As one contemporary rabbi replied when asked if the Talmud contains jokes, yes, but they're all old. He says also it reminds you not to take anything, including yourself, too seriously. Right. And he notes that at some level, right, the idea that we saw from the Rav in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, that God himself has a sense of humor, he notes that at some level, you also see that in the Tanur Shalchanai Gemara. Right, the very famous Elu Velu, Nisconi Benai, Nisconi Benai Gemara, right? That Lo Bashamayim He, that the Torah is not in heaven. How does the Gemara end? The Rabbi Natan says to Eliyahu, what is God doing right now? What does he say?
He's laughing and saying,
Nisconi Benai, my children have defeated me. Right? The idea that even God, at some level, has this this sense of humor. So what you see, right, is... Right. The way he summarizes it, right, is that right, God and humans share something unique to them, right, namely humor. And then he says to claim that God created humans in the divine image, but that the divine image lacks a funny bone. Well, that would be a very cruel joke, right? But at some level, right, to recognize that, yeah, the Gemara really does view God as laughing, right? And at some level, that is to highlight the fact that at some level, a certain level of humor is just vital to the human experience. It's just vital to the way that that we live. So that was just what I wanted to do, was show you that the Gemara has humor, right? Appreciates humor, recognizes the limits of humor, right? And just that's something to think about as you go through the Gemara, because obviously most of the time the Gemara is very, very serious. But the fact that the Gemara peppers it with jokes, which, again, some of them are pretty crude, right? I mean, the Gemara, right, has bathroom humor and your mama jokes and whatever. Like, it's not. And these aren't even the crudest, right? I didn't give you everything, right? We go through Shas and find more. The Gemara clearly recognizes this is part of life. But that only forces us to think, what is it that makes this important, right? So these are just some insights about it as a little bit of a lighter shear after we spent all the time on...
Well, you got to end with the joke. You got to end with some sort of
joke. End of the joke? I'm not funny. Rabbi Aronson, are you funny? Can you tell a joke, Derek? Yes.
We need a joke right now.
We need a joke.
Don't to finish this year. I know, but we just spent an hour of jokes in the Talmud.
Very somber year. We need a.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, stop.
To get to the other side.
Maybe. Maybe.